In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is the epistle which you heard read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, particularly verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is our text. By the way, did you catch today's collect? This short little one-sentence prayer, at least historically one-sentence prayer, which, listen to this carefully, let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants. O God, listen to my prayer. And that they may obtain their petitions, so that we could get what we ask for, make them to ask things as shall please you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you notice how God is at both ends of this prayer? He's the one who causes us to ask for the right things, and he's the one who listens to it and then who gives it. It's interesting, isn't it? God gives us his Spirit to cause us to pray for the right thing, and he graciously hears it and answers us in his mercy. Our spirituality isn't about our great workout effort to be spiritually fit and strong. It is about receiving what our Lord does and letting what our Lord does do what it does in response to him. And we see this today in this beautiful text about dealing with temptation. Not one of us here is immune to temptation. Paul says this is common to man. Sometimes we think that the people in our church, there's maybe some others you know in your life, that, well, they don't have temptation. They have it so easy. Everything goes well for them. They don't have their right hand bandaged up. But everybody here is attacked by temptation. Every single person. This is not uncommon to man. It's everyone. No matter how good they seem to be, no matter how good their life. And Paul is telling us in this epistle today that, look, all Israel had everything from God. God gave them all that they needed. Earlier in chapter 10, he tells us they all passed through the sea and the cloud. They all had all these gifts from God. And yet, only two out of the couple million adults over the age of 20 that had escaped from slavery in Egypt, only two of them made it into the promised land. This temptation's really severe, and it's easy to fall along with the majority, and that would be wrong. And we would fall with them. Now, all of those that fell, they all had passed through the sea, they all ate the manna. God had given them abundant provision. And maybe they thought, well, since God is giving us all this good, well, then God's going to be happy with us no matter what. And maybe they then fell into false security, trusting then their own goodness. Ezekiel was told by the Lord, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered, but he shall die. Indeed, that's what happened. The majority of Israel trusted in their own righteousness and then committed iniquity. They didn't trust the Lord. They trusted themselves. And that's why they gave themselves permission to complain against God and to ignore his word and ways. Look, we're his people, his holy people. We're doing this great movement out of Egypt. He ought to be treating us better. And then they rebelled. And for all this rebellion against the true God, the majority of Israelites died in the wilderness. 3,000 who refused to repent after worshiping the golden calf at Mount Sinai. 23,000 or 24,000 after the worship of the Moabite God by having sex with temple prostitutes. And many who were bitten by fiery serpents for their distrust of and grumbling against God. And of course, all those adults who refused to go into the promised land when 10 of the 12 spies rejected God's promise and said it was impossible to win this land. And there, of course, were those who were swallowed up by the ground for rebelling against Moses and Aaron, Yahweh's called servants. Whew. That's a lot of people falling. And this case study of a merciful, forgiving, gracious God who abundantly poured out water and manna and aid to his people in distress after distress after distress, and then the sometimes rebellion of Israel, is offered as a type, Paul calls it, a picture, a prefigurement for you and me who share in the life of the church. As St. Paul writes, now all these things happen to them as examples. Literally, the Greek word is types. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, we have amazing gifts from Yahweh, the living Lord. We've been baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. We participate in the Lord's Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our forgiveness and raised from the dead. This same Jesus personally attends us in word and sacraments. These are wonderful, incredible, gracious gifts of God. They bring us forgiveness and life and salvation. Yet tragically, they can be misused. We can fall into false security, thinking we're beyond the forgiveness of our sins. We don't need forgiveness anymore. And then, like Israel, trust our own goodness and ability to overcome temptation like we're spiritually fit and strong, and then fall flat on our face in sinful rebellion. Or we might be like those who think these forgiving means from our Lord are like, well, indulgences, which give us permission to willfully head off into whatever we happen to know is sin but happen to like. As St. Paul warns us, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Dear friends, we dare not become complacent with sin or give any space for it. We dare not think that we're good enough or that God certainly understands if we put up with a little bit of sin in our life and don't repent. We dare not think that we can move beyond trusting the Lord God for our salvation and then trust our own ideas or evil things to make our life really fun or good or full. No, we can never get beyond being God's people by his gracious, merciful forgiveness. And we need to always be confessing our sin and trusting Christ's righteousness alone. The Lord calls us to discipleship, that is, to be his followers. And discipleship consists of a repentant faith in response to God's goodness. Discipleship incurs the risk of being strongly tempted. And discipleship calls for dependence on God's resources, not ours. First, discipleship consists of repentant faith in response to God's goodness. We're not to receive God's gifts in vain, like the Israelites in the wilderness who failed to keep confessing their sins, relying on God's mercy alone and striving to do the good that God wants. So we Christians are under the same temptation. To be a disciple of Christ is not simply to be a member of a club. It is to receive the gifts of God confessing that we don't deserve anything from God except his eternal punishment, and rejoicing then in God's remarkable mercy to us and banking on that mercy. Disciples of Christ receive the beautiful fruit of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that the saving work, his saving work, is our only source for salvation and life. Disciples of Christ rely on God's saving power in word and sacrament, and thus they put those gifts first in their life. They organize their life around receiving these gifts. And Christ's disciples then live differently, even in complete opposition to the lifestyle of the majority in our land. As John writes in 1 John 2, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Discipleship then incurs the risk of being strongly tempted. To join the majority, we'll be tempted. To trust ourselves and not God, we're tempted to this. And we're tempted to create our own system of values. And obviously, these temptations are hard to fight. The majority of Israelites who so clearly saw God's mighty deliverance at the parted Red Sea still succumbed to temptation. And we know it's hard from our daily experiences. We tried to rely on our own determination to do what's right, and we've still fallen. We've grown tired of trying to do what's pleasing to God and gone along with the group, given in, given up, and thus turned away from God's way. These strong temptations, dear friends, they are too strong for us. We must rely on the Lord alone. And so discipleship calls for dependence on God's resources, like we prayed in the collect. God, you've got to enable us to ask for the right things so that you'll give them to us at the right time and be able to do it. As Paul puts it, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, God is faithful. That means he's going to keep coming to meet troubled, burdened, overwhelmed, failing, but repentant sinners who are burdened under temptation. And he's faithful. He comes with the escape, the way out. He is always coming to us in his holy word, in his body and blood, to fill us with himself and his life. Every day, he seeks to kill our old Adam and our sinful desires in his crucifixion and raise us up in his resurrection to new life. God will keep us from temptations that are beyond our strength. That's his promise. For his sustaining power always creates a way out that we might endure in him. What a blessed and invigorating promise. The Holy Spirit is always striving to strengthen us and enable us to endure through the strong word of God, through our connection with God and in the blessed sacraments. He will never leave you without a way out from a temptation. Of course, that kind of cuts both ways, doesn't it? For every sin we fall into, God had provided a way out, but we didn't use it. And yet, for every temptation you're up against, the Lord provides you a way out. He loves you. He wants to free you from these awful burdens. And look at that type of Israel. Even through all those awful, seductive temptations of Israel, some did make it. And those who stumbled and fell and repented, he joyfully, freely forgave and carried along and brought them to a rest in a greater promised land, the kingdom of Christ that will never end. So St. Paul warns us, therefore let him who stands take heed lest he fall. Dear friends, today, now is the time to return to our Lord, not to trust our own goodness or to be complacent with our sin, but to bear the fruit of repentance now. Confess our sinfulness, receive God's gracious, freely given forgiveness, and live by the Lord's strength alone. He who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.